Food, film, and music. Some of our greatest loves in life. Welcome to Seems to Me with your co-hosts, Sibeline Sariano and Steve Ricardo.
All righty, then. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, Steve-o!
Sibeline, she took my watch and chain. Sibeline,
you know what
she
they
took my
say?
Diamond ring.
Nice.
She took the keys to my Cadillac car.
Ooh, ooh.
Traded it for a Mercedes. Now she's going far.
I love it.
You asked for that.
I love it. You know what I always tell people if they don't get my name? I'm like, Sibeline, like Maybelline. And then they're like, maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe it's Sibeline.
It's kind of weird that we have Sibeline, which is not a common name, and S-T-E-E-V, which is definitely
not common.
And here we are in an uncommon place.
Uncommonly common.
And
funky,
you know what? We're going to talk
fun.
About your favorite today. You must be so happy.
Oh, we made it. Guess what, guys? We are in episode 7, which only can mean to anybody that knows me.
You said we have to do this in 7.
We have to do Prince on episode 7. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about my all-time favorite, Prince Roger Nelson, born in 1958, teenage prodigy. He could play every instrument, the guitar, the bass, the drums, the piano. This guy has been making music since he could probably, I don't know, spell the alphabet. I mean, he is just prolific, to say the least. And I think
was so sad to say that was.
It still
it still is,
me.
But the fact that he's passed away is just ugh.
I heard this little tidbit of information the other day, either from my friend David, who I know is a listener, and he's one of the people in my life that taught me more about Prince than I already knew, because he knows everything about Prince. But I believe he shared this with me, or I read this somewhere, that Paisley Park just released the fact that if they wanted to, they could release one album every year for another 100 years or something like that, based on how much music they have in the vault that was never even released. Do you guys, I don't know if people can fully wrap their head around how much music that is. What's an album usually have? 12 songs on it?
It's like 35 minutes, I'd say, is what's regarded as an album. 35 minutes.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
10 songs.
But most of his
average
songs are much longer than 3 or 4
minutes.
Oh,
no, I'm not saying the albums aren't longer than that. I'm saying it usually to qualify as an album, usually 30 to 35 minutes.
I mean, he has that much music. I think my friend David told me that he recorded at least one song every day that was completely brand spanking new. Like, he created a song and lyrics in a day. Like, he could do that. I don't know if people truly understand how genius that is. That's a genius level. That is, like, again, you can't. That's not normal, people. That's just not normal. I've heard people refer to him as the greatest guitarist in the world.
I was going to say, you mentioned that he was a multi-instrumentalist and everything. If he wanted to just be a guitar player, he would be. He still is top five of all time.
I would agree.
Plus, you know, the one thing that I think is his best attribute or his best contribution, his songwriting ability.
I have it right here.
Songwriter.
Prolific songwriter, best guitarist in the world. Those are the two things that I think people need to know if they don't know this about Prince. And this is what I started to say earlier, is that Prince is known for Purple Rain and, you know, Little Red Corvette and all his, you know, Let's Go Crazy and Party Like It's 1999. That's what most people know Prince for. And yes, they've been probably overplayed, and, you know, I appreciate every one of those songs for more reasons than just, you know, the airplay. But his side Bs are, like, epic. And the stuff that he has written, I want you to tell me, like, who, what you found out, because Steve did some homework, and I have my own.
Oh, you want to get right into that?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I've got a list here.
I want people to understand what he did that we don't know what he did, because.
Well, some people might know this, but I came up with a list of songs that were covered by others, and I picked what I thought the best ones were, because there's a lot of them. I'm going to start with Stevie Nicks, because not many people know this story, but Stevie Nicks was like driving with her new husband, and she was listening to Little Red Corvette on the radio. And by the time she got to her destination, she came up with these lyrics. She rewrote the song, basically. And I never realized this, but the song Stand Back is actually just about the same exact music as Little Red Corvette. So she said, I have to talk to Prince about this. So they were going into the studio in L.A. She didn't know that Prince was in L.A. And she's like, I wrote the lyrics to a song, but I think I stole your song. Will you come down to the studio and meet me? He ends up playing all the keyboards on the song, and they actually split the publishing royalties 50-50, but nowhere on the record does it say that he had anything to do with it. I discovered that story while I was doing the research.
And this is what I think a lot of people don't realize about Prince, is that he wanted to collaborate with anybody and everybody. He was very much a David Bowie in that way. That, you know.
Good comparison.
Right? I mean, he just wanted to make music for the love of music. Whatever it took. And I mean, he has a huge reason for Alicia Keys being Alicia Keys. I just watched a whole thing on her, and it was Prince that basically got her to where she is, because she was like, I can't remember the story, and I wish I knew it off the top of my head better. But in any case, I mean, he loved music so much that it didn't matter if somebody was going to use his chords or his, you know, background piece. And
well, these songs that I picked out were songs that helped these artists become famous, like Nasty Girl by Vanity. Who would have ever heard of that song? You know, I mean, that was like Prince wrote that. Chaka Khan, I Feel For You. I mean, I never heard Prince do the song, but I'd love to hear. There must be a version somewhere.
I Feel For You. I loved that song.
And I
love
know you're
going to
love this. What about this? The Bangles, Manic Monday.
I was, you know, Steve and I got together last weekend, and we were talking about the Bangles and talking about
Susanna Hoffs.
And just like that is my youth in like Manic Monday,
early
Bananarama, yeah. Venus, I'm Your Fire, you know, like Taylor Dane, Prince, I mean, this was like what I was listening to, you know? Like, I loved the Bangles. I just thought they were like hot shit. And I still play like Walk Like an Egyptian for my kiddo, you know? She knows the whole dance.
That's, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, and oh God, like, yeah, Bananarama, the Bangles. And so he wrote Manic Monday.
Yeah,
and
he wrote,
the Bangles wouldn't have been Manic Monday.
You know, I haven't even mentioned the most famous one yet. But I know. But think about this. Kiss by Tom Jones. I mean, Tom Jones was already a legend, but then when he did covered Kiss, the song Kiss.
Tom Jones covered Kiss?
Oh, an epic version of it.
Huh.
Epic. And he made a huge hit out of it.
Okay,
a worldwide
I need to hear that
hit.
One. Okay.
Yeah, you do. And of course, Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You was a big one. But my favorite, which I don't think ever made it on a record, but if you go on YouTube, you can find a live version of it. I don't know if you know who Richard Ashcroft is. He's in the band The Verve. Mm-hmm. They were famous for Bittersweet
Symphony,
which is an old Andy Luke Oldham Rolling Stones track. He does a live version of Little Red Corvette. It's live at the BBC. It's unbelievable. I watched it last night when I was looking at song. Because if I read every song that people recorded by Prince, it would be like reading the list of Yesterday by the Beatles, okay? Mm. So many people have covered. These are the ones that I found that I thought were like,
wait,
so
I need to, before you do that, because I want to talk about Nothing Compares to You. Because, first of all, as a young woman who listened to Nothing Compares to You by Sinead, I just remember feeling the heartache from that song, right? Like, it's such a powerful song. And then knowing what Sinead O'Connor stood for and being the Irish woman that she is and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But when, I guess I wasn't really a big Chris Cornell fan until these last maybe 10 years of my life. But Chris Cornell covers Nothing Compares to You. Have you ever heard that one?
I believe I have heard that. I totally forgot about that.
Unbelievable. Like, I could listen to that song 50 times and I wouldn't get tired of it. I just think he is the cat's meow, or he was. And on top of that, just how raw it is and how, like, it's just so powerful. And he's just, his music is so powerful. We'll have to cover Chris Cornell one of these days, too. But, you know, I think that is sometimes some of my favorite things now to go back to is listening to people covering Prince.
I love cover songs, period. But this list was amazing. I mean,
tell us about it.
Well, I just did. I told you about.
No, didn't you say you have something
more?
There's many more.
But
okay.
These were the ones that I thought were the. The ones you just gave us.
Yeah. So,
and I'm surprised that you're not familiar with Tom Jones' version of Kiss, and I highly recommend
you listen. I'll have to listen to it.
I feel for you. I didn't spend enough time because Chaka Khan, you know, Rufus, I thought Rufus was Tell Me Something Good was like their big, huge hit, but they were one of the coolest bands because they were like a rock band. They were like a rock band in a R&B soul body. And I Feel For You is probably one of the biggest songs on this list, you know? And like,
I Feel For You. Right.
But, you know, and you mentioned before, once again, the multi-instrumentalist thing. There's that footage of him at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when George Harrison got inducted and he's playing guitar on While My Guitar Gently Weeps For You. Mm-hmm. You cannot talk about how great that is enough times. If you watch it, the guys up on stage, Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne and all them, they were all looking at him when he was playing that lead like, oh, my God. It was like one of the most incredible leads
100%. I've ever seen. He steals the show as far as I'm concerned. Or they're just all like, you know, God. And, you know, to speak to that, then I'm going to go back to the Grammys and the fact that when they did a tribute to Prince after he died, they did a tribute and Usher got up there dressed like Prince and tried to dance like Prince to his songs while he was, I don't know, lip syncing them or covering them. And it was so awful. It was so pathetic. It was so like,
some things you just can't imitate.
No.
You know,
he tried to dance. He tried to do the twirl and then the split. And you know what? I'll give him props for like trying to feel it and be in it. But you know what? Nobody is Prince. And you can't try to I mean, it was almost so tacky and cheesy. Like, I was cringing. It was like white knuckle pain for me to watch that. Because, again, maybe people who don't love and know Prince like I do, like, thought it was entertaining. It wasn't. It was like, so disrespectful to me. Like, there's so much more to Prince that you're going to show Usher in, like, a sequined purple outfit that's like tight around his balls and you know he's gonna like do a split. Give me a break. It was awful. Anyway,
I just had a flashback that I just want to throw out there. I remember it was around 1990. I met this girl, Renee. We met in California. We had a little thing. And she was in Hawaii, but she was from Minneapolis. Mm. And so I went out to Minneapolis to visit her once. And she's like, is there anything you want to do? And I'm like, yeah, I want to know where Prince's studio is. So she took me by. I didn't get to go in the studio, but I saw the building. And plus, he had a club.
Yeah.
And we went to the club.
Did
and
you?
I was in Prince's club. We went there and had some drinks and stuff.
What was it like?
He was known to show up, but he didn't show up that night, unfortunately.
Was it purple? I'm just curious. Was it purple?
This is 1990, so this is a long time ago, and I was young. I just remember it being hip. Hip's the only anything to do with Prince is hip, though. The whole
yeah,
his
but
whole
it's
art
so interesting to me that like he had such a place in his life in Minneapolis. You know, like my
they
aunt and uncle live out there, and they do. I mean, when he died, it was like the whole state came and paid their respects to him.
Yeah,
you know?
he's Minnesota basically, or Minneapolis, I should say.
He's a Minnesotan, you know. Yeah. I mean, so can we talk about the Super Bowl performance?
That was incredible. I can't remember what Super Bowl it was, but I remember
it was
the 2007 pouring rain.
2007 or 2004? I just looked it up this morning, but I think it was 2007. So wait, can I tell you? I never saw this live. I did not know that he performed at the Super Bowl until...
Probably the best Super Bowl performance 100%. Ever, I'd say.
Hands down. And yeah. And most everybody that I've brought it up to has been like, oh, yeah.
There's nothing that came... Nothing compares to
Prince.
You. Seriously, that was... And when it started raining, it was perfect.
They woke up that morning. The guys all behind the scenes talk about it. They woke up that morning and they were like, oh, shit. It's like a Miami hurricane happening, okay? Like, Prince is supposed to be playing outside with electric everything,
yeah.
Right? Like, he doesn't play anything but electric
field.
Guitar. I mean, he plays acoustic, but he's playing an electric guitar on, like, a Prince cymbal stage that's as slick as it can be. And they wake up, and it's raining, and it's torrential raining. And they call Prince, and they were like, Prince, it's raining. He's like, yeah, no shit, it's raining. And they were like, what do you want to do? And he goes, let it rain harder. And he just owned it. And he is playing Purple Rain in the rain. It's like epic. It's so good.
You know, the word epic gets used too
I know,
much.
I
but
use it
in
too
that
much.
Situation right there, there's no other word to describe
I've used epic
that
too
situation.
Much
it was like just when you thought it was getting great as it could be, it got better and better. And you know what? I respect and love Prince. I'm not a huge fan as you are, but I think he's a... unbelievable. He's one of the greatest. I mean, if you look at the all-time greats, I mean, who else you put up there? Beatles, Elvis, Michael Jackson, and Prince, basically, right? And then maybe Bowie. Jimi Hendrix, you know? I mean, it's like,
I mean, I'm thinking guitarists, you know?
Oh, as far as guitar players go, he's definitely top five of all time.
And who are the other
say.
Four?
Well, you know, that's a kind of question to ask me. I say Jeff Beck, Jimi Hendrix, Jimmy Page, Brian May, you know, I mean, all those guys are right up there mm-hmm. from far as Dwayne Allman. They're all pretty close. Hendrix is probably the best.
Derek Trucks
is the next second coming of
I think he's
players.
Probably Gen X maybe, or is he a baby boomer? I don't know.
He married a woman 10 years older than him. I know that.
Susan Tedeschi's 10 years older than him?
Yes.
Good for him. Mm-hmm.
Good
he
for
likes
Tedeschi
the
food stores. People from other parts of the country don't realize that when we joke about Tedeschi food stores, that it's actually her family.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I grew up knowing that. Yeah, that Super Bowl performance. I mean, he's got dancers. They're dancing in stilettos. I mean, he comes out, but he is just so in it. I mean, he is playing his guitar and singing for his audience. I mean, like,
It was a Super Bowl audience.
It was live in the rain. I mean, he's plugged in the rain.
And even if you were there just to watch a football game, you know, it was just a football game. I mean, you had to, like, stop what you were doing and watch that. It was just... I've watched it several
times. I would have gone
times.
To that just for
it's
that.
It's on YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. You can find anything there, and you can go watch that right now mm-hmm. when you're done listening to this show, and mm-hmm. your mind will be blown. But he's done that more than once. There's a lot of performances on YouTube
for sure.
where nobody outdoes him. No one could outdo him in a live performance, not even the Beatles. You know, I mean, you just couldn't
outdo. That's just such different music to me.
You couldn't outdo
Prince
live. And there were times where he didn't even pick up a guitar, and he still out was incredible.
And his dancing, his stage presence, I mean, everything. I think what I would say, the only thing I would say about Prince that didn't hit the mark for me always is his fashion sense. Like, I know. He's giving me he's giving me a look. It's because he was gaudy, a little bit too gaudy.
You didn't like him in a garter belt?
I mean, hey, that I, you know, I get the whole purple thing. I love that a man can own purple. That's cool. Like, I think it's super important for men to wear color and to own like pink and purple and those and all those shades. But, you know, he was very feminine and also masculine. And that's what I respect about him. He, you know, he was always in heels and ultimately was his somewhat his demise as well as Petty's was this, you know, hip issues that they had that ultimately got them on hooked on, you know, painkillers. And that's ultimately what happened with Prince and his death that I think. But, you know, he was always in a heel and it was because he was 5'2" or 3" or something ridiculous like that. And he wanted to be taller. But, you know, he
can we talk about some of the women he was romantically linked with?
Yeah. Well, so I want to say just to segue into that, because growing up, like, I thought Prince was very feminine and I just assumed that he was either gay or bisexual. But it turns out, from what we, the research we did, he wasn't. He was very much.
Well, we don't know for sure.
Right, right. Maybe he was, but he was very private. Very private. And he died a private, lonely death, which we'll talk about too. But yeah, tell me about his love list here.
Well, stunners would be the best way to describe it, mm-hmm. as it's described here mm-hmm. in an article I'm looking at. Apollonia, Vanity, Misty Copeland. I'm not sure who that is, Misty Copeland. How about Carmen Electra?
Mm-hmm.
What about Kim Basinger?
Didn't we talk about her a couple episodes ago? That's the favorite of mine of his, but I can't see them together really. But Kim Basinger is gorgeous.
Sheila E.
That's, yep.
Susanna Hoffs.
Yeah, mm. Manic Monday. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of Manic Mondays,
I'm
I guess.
Sorry if I'm in it, but I am.
She's a pretty
I'm
girl.
I'm jealous of Prince.
She's very petite.
So jealous, I just whacked the microphone. I know Mike loves when I do that. But that is there's even more, but those are the ones that I just happened to like do a quick search and found because his you know.
So speaking of romantic, you know, music and maybe wooing the women in his life, I will never forget my first time listening to Darlin' Nikki. And I would have been, I don't know, 12, 13, maybe younger, maybe 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in that range. And I remember listening to the words of that, you know, that song and how she leaves her phone number on the stairs. Thank you for a funky time. And I just had this like aha moment for me as a young blossoming woman. I realized in that moment in my life that Prince taught me how powerful a woman was over a man in that way, like that our bodies are sensual and sexual and that, you know, we're attractive. I mean, I don't like this is that coming of age thing, you know, and music was that for me. I think film can be that for some people and, you know, conversations with friends. I mean, I have almost nine-year-old and I'm hearing her start to learn about, you know, things that she's hearing from her friends. But I had that moment by myself in my bedroom, like, you know, as okay, okay, that's
here?
Not what I'm talking about. I mean, come
where
on,
where are we going?
I just was listening and I was like into Bob Marley and I was into like Rick Astley and I was into, you know, like George Michael.
Wait a minute, time out. You dropped Taylor Dane and Rick Astley in the same episode.
Astley,
I'm impressed.
Yes. Oh, I was big into music and in that night or day or whatever it was for me that I'm playing it on a tape recorder, okay? Like in my boom box. I had a Casio boom box that was red. And I'm like, wow, this guy is writing about music and about how powerful the woman is to the man. And I was like, oh, I like this. Like, you know, these are those moments in your life where it changes the course of your life, you know? And for me, that was Darlin' Nikki. And then I got to college and I was
really... Where'd you go to college?
Okay, hold on. I'm not going to go there yet. I was a big, big, and still am, and my kid knows every word to this song. I'm very proud of it. Prince has a song called Seven All seven. All seven, and we'll watch them fall. Stand in the way of love, and we will smoke them all. And the savoir faire. So, I mean, I just...
This is just another reason to support our Patreon page, by the way. You get to hear Sibylline sing.
Oh, I don't know. I could sing a few things, but not much.
I think you have a lovely voice.
Oh, I thank you. So, all seven. The funny thing is, and now this is when I will bring up my alma mater, at Syracuse University, when all seven or seven would come on the radio, the DJ would play it, or they would come on... All my friends knew that they had to meet me on the dance floor because I was in the middle of the dance floor dancing to that song, and they all had to come and join me.
I can only imagine what it was like going to college with you. That must have been like...
Oh, we had fun, let me tell you.
So I have to ask you, during that dispute with Warner Brothers in 1993 when he changed his name to the artist formerly known as Prince, what were you thinking back then about that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was disappointing for, I mean, any musician that goes through that kind of heartache between, you know, their big brother, their big sister, their parent, you know, this is them being run by something. And then for them to tell you, you can or cannot do something as a musician, that must just be the worst. It must be such a horrible thing to go
through. Signing a major label record deal can be like a really difficult thing for, believe me, I worked for a major label, so I'm not going to sit here and rip labels apart, but that whole incident and situation with his contract was, it must have been unbearable. But I thought what he did was cool, though.
I think
he changed his name.
He breaks the mold. He continues to break the mold during all of these moments in his life. You know, you're going to tell me I can't do something. Well, fuck you. I'm going to change my name. Like, brilliant. He was just a business savvy, like, you know, incredible musician. Like, he had it all. And that's what pains me so much to think about his death. Because, first of all, we lost one of the greatest. And it was 2016, and it was April, and I'll never forget where I was and what was happening. I was at a Red Sox game with my 3-year-old trying to keep her reined in at a Red Sox game, which was nearly impossible.
Fenway Park.
It was spring break. Yep, Fenway Park. It was spring break, and it was the year that our spring break in April was like 85 degrees and hot as dog balls. And so we are in left, we're by the pesky pole, okay, which stressed me out because I have a 3-year-old. Right field, yes. Right field by the pesky pole.
Yes.
Sorry.
Left field
oh
is
my God.
The green
I just,
monster.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, yes, but the left field, like I had a line ball like by Lowell, Mikey Lowell, like hit a line drive right into my...
Mikey Lowell.
Oh, he was my fave.
Oh, my God. Wow.
What?
Okay.
You don't like Mike Lowell?
Yeah, I know why you like him. That photo with his shirt off went viral.
No, I didn't even see that. I liked Mikey Lowell as a person, as a teammate.
I've never heard anyone call him Mikey, by the way.
My best friend from college went to high school
with Mikey Lowell.
So I can, you know, I don't know. People called him Mikey Lowell, so I called him that. I have a t-shirt that's Lowell. I'll wear it next time.
I'm a big Red Sox fan, I guess, because I did not know he was called Mikey.
Yeah. Well,
it's okay.
Stevie, Sibby. I mean, you know, you can always change a name with
Sibby?
Add Mikey.
Can I call you Sibby from now on?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, Sibby.
Mm-hmm. I let my closey.
I'm sorry, I ruined your story.
Sibby.
You're at Fenway Park.
At Fenway Park, hot as dog balls.
Yes,
my kid is like paper white skin. I don't think we had sunscreen with us. We're like with another family who has little ones too. And we're like, let's keep these guys. Let's try to keep them entertained. Now, baseball and 3-year-olds don't really mix. I'm not going to lie. So now I'm trying to like keep her entertained. I want to be watching the baseball game. And, you know, her dad is like, we're all trying to like keep these kids contained. And all of a sudden, I hear on the organ, Purple Rain. And I'm like, what? Why is the organ player at Fenway Park playing Purple Rain? It was so odd. But I picked it up within like three notes.
Of course you did.
And I'm like...
Then your phone blew up, I bet. I knew it.
Up.
I knew you were going to say that.
My phone blew up. My friends are like, are you okay? How's everything? Oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear. It was like my sibling died, okay? Like, but that's how much people know how much I love him. And I, all day long, I will never forget the day Prince died because of the attention I got from my people because they knew how much this would devastate me.
Yeah.
And the loss of him for me, I mean, I really hope that his estate does start to release some of this music because it's only gonna...
They will eventually. Somebody will.
I hope they do because it's got to be amazing, epic music.
I know what you're feeling. I've gone through that a few times in my life with rock stars. The first one I remember was John Lennon in 1980. It was Never Forget That Day. Freddie Mercury. And then Bowie. You know, I mean, think about the...
Tom Petty for me, too.
Petty, too, was a hard one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to deal with that because even though they're not your personal friends or family... They have such an important part in your life.
Absolutely.
You know? I know how much you love Prince, so you must have freaked.
Well, and that was the thing. I had to compartmentalize it in that moment because I was with my young child at a baseball game, which is not easy. I mean, anybody that's a parent out there knows this. It's a shit show, to be honest with you. Don't recommend it. But I was just like, I can't even process this right now. I can't even process the fact that Prince is dead. What do I do? Oh, my God. All right. I'm going to just think about it later. And then I did. And then the mystery around his death and then the, you know, painkiller stuff that came out. And, you know, he was known to be sober. He was known to, like, you came into Paisley Park and you didn't drink or do drugs around him. So it was like this deep, dark secret that he was holding
to. The things we found out afterwards about his pain and everything.
Like, and I'm telling you, it was from his dancing and from his
shoes.
The
media loves to run with shit like that, too. We don't need to hear about When someone's dead, they're dead.
They would drag
him. Just let
him
be dead.
Yeah.
You know?
And it dragged him through the mud, and it made him be, like, less important because
Prince
he
was
a
drug
addict. Right.
Know? He was, it was pain. He had, like, hips. I believe I heard his hips were all messed up.
Yeah, because look at what he did on stage.
Yeah, and I've known people that have had hip replacement surgeries, and it's no picnic. You know, when your hips go, it's painful.
Yeah, hip is way different than the knee replacements from what I've heard. So another song, I don't know if you want to talk about some of his songs.
I got a really special segment, but I'm going to
wait
until you...
Right. Okay, you do. You're going to... Okay.
Yeah, I got to
write that down
good.
So I remember. Well... One of the songs that kind of jumps out to me that I was actually just talking about this weekend is The Beautiful Ones by Prince. It's definitely, I mean, it's on Purple Rain, but I don't feel like people know it very well. And it's just got beautiful lyrics. And I remember, in college, it definitely, like, my best friend and I would play that song, and it was kind of like our ode to each other, you know, a little bit. I mean, When Doves Cry, I know these are all like the ones that people know, but I have my dear, dear friend David, who could give us a rundown of every single song that people don't know and why and how they're so fabulous. And one of these days I'm going to get him on the podcast because he wouldn't commit to it. But, you know, Sexy Motherfucker, I mean, you and I talked about the Black album and the fact that they did and then didn't and then did and maybe didn't release it, but then did. And it was all about sex. And
the whole album is about as vulgar as you can get. Mm-hmm. But it's good.
Love Sexy being one of the incredible albums. I mean, this is the stuff that... I can't necessarily talk about each album. I just know so many of the songs, like Musicology. Oh, wait. Oh, I got to see Prince live. And I got to see him at TD Garden. This was during my Cibeline boutique days. He was coming to town, and I didn't care what it cost. I was going to see Prince. I paid $125 a ticket. I took my...
That's nothing these days.
I know, right? But it was a lot of money for that. Musicology was the tour. He gave every single person who walked through the doors the album, and it was signed, okay? His album signed on a CD. And I went with my friend Leah, and... we were so close to the stage. It was awesome. At the end of the night, one of the drummers went by us and threw a drumstick, and my friend Leah caught it.
Wow.
That's how close we were. I mean, first of all, Maceo Parker opened for Prince at Musicology. And this guy comes out. He has like an entire like marching band behind him. And everybody's playing all the different horns. And it's so powerful and loud. And he opens. He does a bunch of songs. And then Prince comes out. And he does his incredible show. It was by far one of the best concerts I've ever been to. And then he brings Maceo Parker back out for the encore. And they jam out together. And it's Musicology, the whole album. He played most of it. And again, just one of just a truly incredible moment for me in music. That's what I got for you.
You got good stuff, but nothing like what I'm going to come at you with right now.
Okay, he's going to tell us some food stuff.
Okay, this is funny, okay? This is some good shit.
Okay.
You always lead me in the right direction. You're like, well, why don't you talk about his favorite food? And I'm like, you want me to talk about Prince's favorite food? So I did a little research, and I found this website called Delish.com.
Okay.
And they actually had a list of Prince's favorite foods.
Wow.
And I've got six of them right here for you. Ready?
Okay.
Number one, Prince's favorite food. Are you ready? Spaghetti paired with orange juice.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, you're not in love with Prince anymore, are you?
Okay, wait. Does he have sauce on that spaghetti, or is it just butter or olive oil, or
one
what?
One time he went out and he was with an executive.
Ew.
He went out to dinner, and that's what he ordered. He said, I want spaghetti, but I also want orange juice.
Like on the side, like a glass of orange
juice. He had a glass of orange juice.
Okay, maybe
with
he was vitamin C deficient. Okay, go ahead.
He is a longtime vegan. That's what I found out.
Oh, no shit.
So he was really into microgreens.
Okay.
He would eat microgreens every day, whether they were like juiced or whatever.
Ahead of his time.
He was really into microgreens. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what these things are, but he was into Dunkaroos, biscuits dipped in frosting. Do you know what they are? I was like, Dunkaroos? I never heard of a Dunkaroo.
It sounds
I think
familiar.
Mike Nash does, though.
It's a child's like lunch snack you would pack. So it's almost like a yogurt type of thing you would dip like graham crackers in.
The voice of Mike Nash just made it on our podcast. So
mysterious.
It
Mike.
Said that they were kangaroo-shaped. Kangaroo-shaped Dunkaroos. That's
okay,
on his list.
That's bizarre.
This one makes a little sense. Kimchi. You would think that he's healthy and he wants that healthy bacteria or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then this blew my mind. Yak's milk. And I'm like, what the heck is yak's milk? Mm-hmm. Y-A-K. Mm-hmm. A yak is a large domesticated wild ox with shaggy hair, mm-hmm. humped shoulders, and large horns used in Tibet as a pack animal for its milk, meat, and hide. That's the only kind of milk he would drink. Yak's milk.
That must have cost a sweet fortune to get yak milk.
Yak's milk.
That's a Paisley Park. That's funny.
And I'm not even done.
Oh, boy.
And these two I coupled together into the same category. I don't know why, because
I only know about yaks, P.S., because I have a kid, and I feel like every alphabet book has yak for, you know.
I never heard of an animal called a yak.
What?
Have you?
Yes,
absolutely. I did it. Sorry.
I mean, I feel like, blah, blah, blah. What's the guy's name? Oh, my God. Screw it. Yak off.
Yak off. He's a yak off. He loved maple syrup, but only if it was the real maple syrup.
Yeah,
otherwise, he wouldn't eat it.
Grade B,
and here's the thing I love about the things that he loved, because I love mustard, too.
Mm.
He was a big mustard guy.
I appreciate
he
mustard,
He loved
too.
Mustard.
What kind of mustard?
All kinds of mustard.
All mustards.
He was into mustard.
I like
the stone coarse ground stuff
the Dijon
myself. Yeah,
brand.
Dijon. Anything that's like the stronger, the better. Like Germany has a lot of good mustard.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to introduce you to a French mustard. You might not know it. M-A-I-L-L-E.
I've had Mile. Yeah, I love that mustard.
That's
very
like,
good. Expensive.
Poof, that will like
get
your...
Yeah, it's pricey. Some of it's like pricey, but I don't mind. If I have the money, I will buy Mustard I love.
Oh, I do
it's
too.
Good
and
for you
I
too.
Love Dijonnaise. I love mixing my mayonnaise and my mustard, and that's what I put on my burgers and my fries.
That. I'm down mm-hmm. with that. Is that what they do over at the Capital Burger? Do they mix their mustard?
Oh, no.
And
I have
mayo?
To get them to bring me two separate things, and I'd make my own at the table.
Well, you know, I came at you hard here with Prince's
favorite
foods.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
I mean, I didn't know.
I didn't know he was a vegan, and I didn't know he was into yaks, and I didn't know he was into,
Well, he wasn't,
Dunkaroos.
I mean, dairy, it's like you don't, is that really for, some people say they're vegetarians and they still eat cheese. Uh-huh. There are people that
do that. Well, my mom's a vegetarian, and she still eats eggs and cheese.
Yeah.
And we both eat do almond milk instead of regular milk. But so if
he wasn't a strict vegan if he ate if he liked yak's milk.
Right. But I think sometimes vegans go back and forth, right? Like vegan to vegetarian to vegan.
I've cheated
and back.
A few times myself, on my vegetarianism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, but sometimes it's really difficult. I know that somebody's going to give me a hard time for saying this now, but it's just the reality of the way life is, I've had to drastically change my diet lately, and mm-hmm. I don't know what to eat some days,
Right.
Maybe that's what happened to Prince.
So,
he started drinking yak's milk.
I think as we get older, our bodies change and, technically your body changes every 7 years, whether, so you can develop an allergy that you didn't have 7 years prior. But, one thing I'm realizing as we sit here and talk about Prince, we never really talked about film today or, shows. But I think what we could say and what we could segue in is that you brought up a show that you think I should watch and I brought up a show you should watch. And so maybe next week we will both have watched a couple of those shows, not the whole show, not the whole series. So I'm going to say if you haven't seen White Lines, people, it's on Netflix.
I've seen a lot of White Lines, but those days are over.
Yeah, you have seen a lot of White Lines. I haven't, thankfully, but it is kind of about that. Yes, it takes place in Ibiza. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why you have problems with your sinuses, mofo.
I don't doubt that for one second.
I can't imagine it did your upper nasal passage any good.
It's been a long time, by the way, since I went down that road, but I
was
in the music business.
Rock and roll. Okay, so it's called White Lines, and it takes place. It's kids from Manchester, England, who go to open up the best nightclub in Ibiza. And it's kind of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and it's so...
Ibiza's known for that.
Oh, yeah. It's, very sexual, and everybody's having orgies, and it's very
If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Ibiza was where Freddie Mercury had some of his most famous parties.
I'm sure.
He was quite the partier.
It's a party. It's so funny because I went to Corfu in college with some of my girlfriends, and we went to this place called the Pink Palace. And the only way you
Corfu,
it's an island in Greece.
Oh, Greek Isles.
We went there.
Beautiful.
Oh, it was stunning. Stunning. But it's actually more it's more of pine trees and stuff there.
Really?
It's not as tropical in Corfu. All the islands of Greece are all very different in their scenic look. But we went to this place called the Pink Palace, and the only way to get off Corfu was a 5 a.m. ferry. And if you were like me and you went to the nightclubs and you were doing shots of ouzo with my girlfriends, then you were kind of just about to go to bed at 5 a.m. or maybe you had already passed out. And so we could not get off that island. We literally missed multiple ferries. Multiple. I'm not talking one or two. I think three ferries.
If you're going to get stuck somewhere, might as well
amazing.
Be on a Greek island. Right?
One night they were letting us throw plates on the dance floor because that's what the Greeks do. And I was like, I love this. Can I have some more plates to throw? It was awesome.
I'm
Those
really
were
surprised
my
you didn't
days.
End up with a Greek man. I mean, maybe it's not too late for you.
Oh, I think it's not too late for me.
When you said you wanted to talk about White Lines and you were talking what
then,
show were you talking about? Were you talking about Ingrid Goes West?
Well, that
the
one,
film?
You told me about that, but also you told me when we walked in today I should watch something Katherine Heigl show.
Oh, well, now I can't remember the name of the show. Firefly Lane?
Firefly Lane, right.
It's excellent.
So you want me to watch Firefly Lane, and I want you to watch White Lions. And so we'll come back together in a couple weeks, and we'll talk about those shows.
But if we talk about films, I want to talk about Ingrid Goes West, which is Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen. I don't know if I ever told you this, or maybe I even mentioned it on the show, but my brother's ex-girlfriend married, they're not together anymore, David Olsen, the father of the Olsen twins, and Elizabeth Olsen. And one time out when I was out in L.A., he called me and said, hey, I'm going out to dinner with David Olsen. You want to go? And I went, and six-year-old Elizabeth Olsen was there. So, yes, I've had dinner with Elizabeth Olsen.
There you go.
It's like a moment I'll never forget.
She was eating spaghetti and orange juice.
I don't think she noticed that I was there. And I probably didn't notice she was there either because she was 6 years old.
Yeah. But you were like, shut up,
I definitely noticed her in Ingrid Goes West. It was just a fantastic film that I highly recommend.
All right. I don't know anything about it, and we will cover it coming soon. I think next week I'm going to give you guys a little secret on sunspots and how to get rid of a sunspot without going to the dermatologist, because this is my little secret. And maybe some other products that I like.
Before you talk about Sibley in the Art Gallery, which you've been assigned to do every show, I just want to plug my other podcast.
Yeah,
you
please.
Mind if I do that?
Not at all.
Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. It's a music podcast. I just put an episode out, which will probably be a few weeks old by this, that I highly recommend. It's with Darren Hill, who started off playing in bands like the Red Rockers and the Star Darts and the Rain Dogs, and became a manager. He's the Mighty Mighty Bosstones manager
right
now.
Which is a huge band here.
But he also, at different times, he managed Paul Westerberg from the Replacements for years. Mm-hmm. He was the Dropkick Murphys manager for 6 years.
Which, I mean, people play and love the Dropkick Murphys here in Boston.
He managed the New York Dolls when they got back together, and one of their shows was a New Year's Eve performance that the Charms opened, and Sibeline designed the dress for LEV for that show. Mm-hmm. So there's a connection. So if it's just Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. It's available all the same places as this podcast: Spotify, iTunes, Apple, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Podchaser, and so on and so forth. I can't remember all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, and the audio versions are on YouTube.
And so I will also say that this is probably going to air just before I'm doing my grand opening, which is June 4th, my big grand opening for Sibeline the Art Gallery at 460 Harrison Avenue in the C Building. We are in the lower level. You can see our windows from the street, and I am going to be doing my big grand opening with some amazing live music from the Vintage Strings.
Vintage Strings.
Live music. There are violin. They play everything from classical to pop and everything in between. Maybe classic rock as well and all my favorites. But my dad's exhibit will be it's called Cycle of the Bicycle. And it's all these really colorful pop abstract bicycles that he did. I've got about 15 of them. They're a limited edition, limited series. I don't have any more. So when they sell and they're gone. SibelineTheArtGallery.com, C-I-B-E-L-I-N-E, TheArtGallery.com. Jean Sariano is my father, JeanSariano.com is his website. This is a love story of a child who sees her parents and her father and her mother as these, you know, wonderful artists, and I just want to get their art out there. And my dad is a contemporary abstract Keith Haring meets Picasso. They call him Little Picasso. And he's
very complimentary,
vibrant, and he's zesty, and he's you know, whimsical. And I love what he does, and I love what my mom does, who's totally opposite of that. She's a watercolorist that she paints like the real thing. And I'm in awe of my parents and their work. And so it's my time to kind of give back and represent them and see if I can get their art out into the mainstream art world.
And you're doing a great job of that, if I might say so.
It's been hard work, but, you know, nothing I wouldn't do over and over again. So here I am back in the entrepreneur scene and doing it well.
Doing it. I wanted to say that part. Seems to me, cssr@gmail.com. Our Patreon account is patreon.com/seems to me, S-E-A-M-S, to me. Sponsor us. Please.
Bye, people. Bye. And I'm saying hello, and I love you to Prince up there in heaven.
So let the good times roll, feel it in your soul. Take another round and let the good times roll.